All right. So if you can't hear me, there's hearing assist things back there. And let's make a show. May the sacred presence of the one who said he would abide in his teaching be our guide. May we follow his glorious example and tread with unfaltering step this noble path until we too shall attain enlightenment. All Buddhas throughout space and time, all honored ones, bodhisattvas, mahasattvas, wisdom beyond wisdom, maha prajna paramita. Howdy. So, my name is Kakumyo, and I'm here to talk with you all about the Kalita Sutta. This is part of our big picture, part of our Wednesday night class series on various sutras. This is one of the ones from the Pali Canon. So, it's quite short. It's a page. So you get credit for reading a whole sutra. You don't have to wade through the entire Avatamsaka. It's in the Samyutta Nikaya, which is the connected discourses. The main character is Mahamoggallana. He's the principal character in the Sajiki story that kind of gets told every year during that retreat. He's one of the primary disciples of the Buddha, not like the top two, but the top four at least. So the basic plot line is Mahamoggallana is chatting with some other monks and reflects that the second absorption, where active thinking stops, is what the Buddha means by noble silence. And so then he's sort of thinking about that. And the Buddha says, Moggallana, stop thinking. Like, do it. And he does. And he kind of like says, haha, I did it. And so that's the sutra. That's like the short version. Loosely paraphrased. So I'm gonna I can we I was off by how many people are here. So I think what we're gonna do is we're gonna share these because we have about that many. So maybe every other person grab one. So the what it's describing as absorptions or jhanas are, it's one way of describing right concentration. So in the Eightfold Path, right concentration is I think the seventh. So I think what I'd like to do just to start out is, have you read these with another person. Just go down it, like get it, and notice like what are the points in here that like you kind of pull back from, or like what, like that don't quite make sense, and then we're gonna delve in there. It's short enough that we can make this make sense. All right.
I was wondering about vitakka and vikara. What are these? What are these? Unless I read this wrong, it sort of, and maybe this is very obvious, but it seems like, placing the mind and kind of maintaining it connected with an object, as you were saying, is kind of like a, usually I think of that as a fundamental meditation activity. And yet this, as I read this, it's sort of saying it was actually the stilling of that which I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I was taking it as sort of the absence of that activity was what was kind of where it's at. Oh, just quick follow-up. So basically, like when they're talking about like placing and sustaining, or that's sort of referring to thinking as opposed to just attention, like, or awareness directed toward an object. Okay.
This is Yukio. Gabe asked my question, but I'll follow up on it. So would you maybe briefly circle back to, so this placing of the mind is attention or awareness? It's attention. Okay. And then, or like, why are you like, yeah, if you could just bring it back to, for helpful, can you then tie that in with mindfulness? So the balance of those two with mindfulness.
So just continuing that, so in this sutta specifically, when the Buddha is saying, do not neglect noble silence, is the goal to not even be aware of the thoughts at all? Like, is that what in this it's saying? Like, to just not have it, period?
Thank you. I didn't hear all the words, but the headset that I had didn't work. But anyway, there was a distinction between awareness and attention. And you said something about, I'm sorry, but then there was a situation that where that was applicable, but I didn't hear that. I'm sorry. So if you could repeat that, where you gave us an example of awareness and attention. Yeah, well, can you say, okay, so I'm a teacher and I'm with people a lot and everybody's talking and there's a lot of engagement. So, but I think if you're, the other scenario is awareness is probably better for learning. Is that what you're saying? Awareness is better at sort of a more open state.
Hi. Oh, is it doing the thing? No. Oh, it's very great. Hi, I'm Becca. Also a new person. So I wanted to talk about the last line. Like I had a little chuckle, right? Because like to your point, he's like, it's me, I did it. But also because of this, like, so that's like one layer of it, but this other layer of as soon as you sort of have the moment of, oh, I'm doing the thing, you're out of the thing, right? As we've been talking about. And so to me, I'm also trying to figure out, so in the context of like telling this story, like, is he telling it as a brag or is he telling it as a lesson of like, here's how I sort of like tricked myself in the moment to think I was doing the thing, but I was also out of the thing at the same time. Does that make sense? Like, I'm sort of like, what level of understanding am I reading into the last line? The less a brag and more just, it's okay to feel good when you do a good thing.
Hi. You mentioned, I think, jhanas, different forms or maybe levels of consciousness. And I am curious, when sitting to meditate, or is there an aim to achieve some form of those various forms or a certain level of that, or more an opportunity to practice awareness of those different forms or cultivate a practice of awareness of them?
Hi, it's Sonia. Can you say anything about the choice? And like sometimes I experience like a little bit of vacillation in the course of a retreat. Like, am I concentrating? Am I shikantaza? Like, and that takes a little effort to kind of like go through those vacillations. Can you offer anything there? We'll do find adjustments within a day or different days. So, yeah, I'm just kind of interested in that and how that plays out and yeah, how conscious of a choice
am I making versus responding to the quality of the mind that day? Or yeah, thank you.
I appreciate this sutra, and I guess I was trying to map it onto some of the vocabulary and mental models I already have, and the nens came up, like the first, second, and third, and I was wondering if you, if they map well for you, or if that's kind of maybe not the right metaphor for this.
There's a popular phrase in, I guess, contemporary psychology, or word, overthinking, it's called. I don't know if Buddha talked about this, but the trajectory is that you have an impression of something, and it's an intuitive impression, but then you overthink. Your mind takes over, and that's a big problem. I'd like to know what you think about how to conquer that. It's called ruminating. I heard recently somebody said, when I was talking about overthinking, he said, "Oh, I observe and then I act." So would you say that's mindfulness?
My name is Red. It's my second time to Dharma Rain, my first time at the Wednesday thing, whatever this is. Happy to be here. The joke I was going to make is, I think it's funny, is would you say that Mahamoggallana would say that the noble silence is underthinking? But actually, I did want to say maybe what I'm hearing from the take on this sutta is that I don't need to be worried or preoccupied with whether I'm placing my mind and sustaining it or not. Rather, the idea is that it is possible to do both and observe that and experience what it's like to be in those different places.
Would you just say a little bit about what's valuable about the jhanas, other than, like, I don't know, if it seems like within a like meditation setting that, like, great, so you created greater clarity, and then you need to make breakfast. So
this is Mess. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on, you know, I've been meditating for a couple years now, and I feel like I have some ideas of what meditation objects work well for me, but I've just been noticing my mind is a lot busier, and some of those objects aren't working as well as they used to. What then?
This is Caitlin. I was interested in the idea that vitaka and vikara are the precursors of speech, and or the absence of vitaka. There's something about the precursors of speech. The idea that these things, that resting your mind on an object, leads you to then say something. So I guess I'm curious about the relationship between noble silence and right speech, or maybe even precepts, in terms of how we communicate.